Oh, so heavenly love was all that could help me. I was a stranger, so sad and alone. I was so bound, my burden all at me. Now I can thank heaven my home, heavenly love. First and last. Go, so each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way.
To number 276. Number 276. sing.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you already his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Next song would be number 109 in the supplement, number 109. Let's sing the first, second, fifth, and then back to the first verse of this song. Oh, fill my cup, number 109.
Oh, fill my cup, oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup, oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup, oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Let it overflow with love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Oh, fill my cup, oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup, oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup, oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Let it overflow with love.
Next, let's sing number 12 in the supplement. Number 12. We'll do all three verses of this one. Sing the mighty power of God. Let's sing.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to shines full at his command, and
594.
Sing the first and third verses.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble my stay, he tells me every care on him to grow. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and
song be number 229. We'll sing all three verses.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal. Till the day
681.
Looking for a city.
Here among the shadows in a lonely land, we're a band of pilgrims on the move, burdened down with sorrows, shunned on every hand, looking for a city built above, looking for a city. Land of dangers, going here and there, trusting in the blessed Savior's love, that we may be strangers in this world of care, looking for a city built above, looking for a city.
Thou thinkest, Lord, of me.
No soul amid the trials which I meet, amid the thorns which pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear when thou art near and thinkest, Lord, of me? Shadows come, let shadows go, let life be bright or dark with woe. I am content, for this I know, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear when thou art near and thinkest, Lord, of me?
Number 141.
Let us sing.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
And then number 15. Number 15. We'll sing the first and last verses. Let us sing.
Known before the world, blessed by righteous men, Son of God, sent as David's
sing all three verses with the chorus to follow after the last verse only. No, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there shall be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, changed with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the hymns will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, glory. 638. So that we can sing all the verses, let's do this the same way. Each verse with the chorus only after the last verse. Do me soul, wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit.
Together, and thank you to all the men that have led us in our songs this morning. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'd like for us to read a text as we end our time together today and give an opportunity for any that have yet to render their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ to do so. In our Sunday morning adult class, we looked this morning at parables of Jesus that are taught in Matthew chapter 13. I'd like for us to go back, if you were in the class, if you weren't in the class, to look for the first time at a parable that Jesus tells beginning in verse 24, and then we'll skip down a few verses to look at the explanation that he offers. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.'
The servants said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" He said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns.'" If you'd skip down then, I believe it's verse 36, an explanation is offered by Jesus of this parable. Begin reading in verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the Word, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We talked this morning in the context of looking at all of these parables in chapter 13 about great similarities, some distinctions that come with the parables. But as we think about this parable this morning, I'd like for us to think together about just a couple of things as we think about our own accountability before God. First of all, I think, you know, we sometimes live in an age in which we are surrounded by things that are not as they ought to be. And we sometimes ask the question, why is it that God allows that to be? Well, if we can draw a comparison with this parable, you'll notice that it doesn't take very long for his servants to recognize that there are tares that are growing within the field. And yet, he does not instruct the servants immediately to go and to remove those tares. Why? Because of the danger that in uprooting the tares, he might also uproot some of the good seed. You know, I think we must recognize as we look at the world around us and we look at hardships or we look at things, injustices that are not the way that they ought to, it's important for us to recognize. Why is it that the Lord allows the world to stand? Because there are souls that will respond to the message of the good news of Jesus Christ that perhaps have not yet done so. And when in fact the end of the age comes and that opportunity is cut off for any repentance, then that is similar to that idea of uprooting the good with the bad. It stops that opportunity for them to be influenced. But I want you to notice as well that in this parable, just as in the parable of the sower, what is it that has the potential to either make one a son of heaven, a son of the Son of Man, a child of the kingdom, or to make one a son of Satan? It is the reception of the different types of seed. We need to make certain that in our own life, the things that we put into our life, the influences that we allow in, the things that we allow into our heart that shape what we believe and how we live and what we do, are we making certain that it is that pure word of God? Or are we letting it be that kind of worldly influence that could lead us to be tares? It's important for us in everything we do to test what we allow into our hearts and lives, lest we find in the end that we have been influenced by things that were not from God, not from the Lord. But finally, a great lesson that I think is taught in this, as we see the explanation that's given, that at the end of the age, God will send out his angels. Of course, we are often told in connection with descriptions of when the day of judgment will come, that the Lord will come with his angels, will send out his angels. But I want you to notice that while there are times here in which we may look at things and think they're not the way they ought to be, there may be time here in which you and I are granted the opportunity that we can either accept that seed of God or we can accept the seed of Satan, there will come a time when that opportunity is lost. And I want you to notice that when that comes, as it is described here, coming at the end of the age, what's going to happen? That separation will occur. All of those wicked people around us that now seem to flourish so much will one day be put down, and one day will be cast into, notice the way it's put here, into that furnace of fire, which is eternal punishment. I think that's an important thing for us to recognize. But notice as well that it describes what awaits us if we are those of the seed that's sown by the Son of Man. If we allow our life to be wheat. The last verse of our reading said, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I understand, and we've talked about this quite often, that there are times in which perhaps we can say, well, is this talking about the kingdom now? Or is it talking about the kingdom in the age to come? It's my judgment that I think it's talking about the age to come. But either way, whether we are talking about now what exists for those in the church as we shine forth with the light of the gospel, or if we're talking about our glorious condition in the age to come. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 will talk about our glorious, immortal resurrection bodies. We see the descriptions that are given throughout Scripture of that condition in which there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. Isn't that what each of us longs for one day? How can we be assured that we can attain that? I'm making certain that we are not of the tares, but we are of the wheat. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you taken the step of courage to confess that before men? Have you made the commitment to repent and to turn away from sin that separates you from God, that allows you to take that seed that's sown by the devil and is producing in you a life in which you're a tare, and one day you'll be separated from the people of God and you'll be cast into the furnace of fire? Repent of sin. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. If as a child of God, you're not shining forth with the light of the gospel as you should, then ask for the prayers of the brethren here. We've been there. We all struggle. We can encourage you. We can do what we can to help you. And if that applies to you, won't you come while we stand and sing?
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us listen to the call of love. Zion's call.
Call of love, Zion's call.